ladies, and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Wow, I guess if that doesn't wake you up on this Monday morning, I'm not sure what will. Thank you to the live studio audience. Okay, we actually had an absolutely incredible Project 613 Shabbos in the city. 97 amazing Jews celebrating Shabbos together in downtown Chicago. It is hard to describe the electric atmosphere that was on Friday night. It was truly, truly incredible. And I was trying to imagine what it is, and it's one thing to have a Shabbaton here in an observant, religious neighborhood of West Rogers Park. There's quite another thing if people know downtown Chicago. There's just not a lot of Judaism happening. And Friday night, you can imagine all sorts of things are going on that are going on in a Friday night in a major city. And we really, it was absolutely incredible. We really brought Hashem's presence into downtown Chicago. You know, I was trying to think of an analogy of what was it? What was so special about it? And I imagine that Hashem is like an electric current of spirituality, and it comes to a socket, and there's sockets everywhere. Every person has the ability to plug in to Hashem, to God. And we were in our building, and they're doing some construction, so we used the synagogue a floor up. And it was basically a bare room, no furniture in it, and there were sockets all around. And it dawned on me that we used two of the sockets to plug in lamps. Every other socket in the entire room, and it was a huge room, could have given forth light. It just needed someone to plug in a lamp, to plug in a light, to use the flow that's there. The electric current is there. You just need to tap into it. And I think it was the perfect analogy for what it was. These 97 people could be in any bar, could be in any dance, who knows what, where, whatever's going on in downtown Chicago on a Friday night. But every one of these Jews plugged into the spirituality, the spiritual current of Hashem, and the special Shabbos spiritual current, and gave off tremendous light. That is, I think, a perfect analogy. So many empty outlets waiting for Hashem's waiting to be plugged into, and we, thank God, were able to do it. You know, it is actually a mind-boggling amount of work to put on one of these Shabbos in the cities that we do basically monthly. And after each one, we are totally and completely exhausted and totally and completely confirmed in our vision, right? Back in the day, that a very famous movie, Field of Dreams, if you build it, he will come. All baseball fans out there remember an incredible, incredible movie. And if you build it, he will come. But that idea did not start with Kevin Costner in that great movie of Field of Dreams. It really started back in the Torah. The Torah itself says that you should build me a mikdash. You should build me a sanctuary. V'shachanti b'sochom, and I will dwell among them. What is our job? Our job is to build the structure to invite Hashem, God's presence, into it. And if we build it, He will come. And that is exactly, exactly what we were able to do. And we feel tremendously blessed by the Almighty to be able to build this incredible Project 613 Downtown Center and have Him come be the star of the show. You know, we had a vision that there are so many thousands of Jewish young professionals in downtown Chicago that we just weren't accessing them, enough of them, quickly enough. And we had a vision that instead of bouncing around from party room to party room, we needed our own space. And this vision, we started renting where we are in August 2023. And we started doing Shabbos there in November of 2023. We always had very nice crowds, but it was really pushing and recruiting very hard to get the word out. And I feel now it was this Shabbos recruited itself. And in fact, we had a wait list. So thank God by September 2024, there's a certain satisfaction when you have your vision confirmed, that the vision wasn't crazy, that I told many donors who asked, why are you increasing your budget by $250,000 in 1 year? I said, because we have to. Because we have to reach more Jews. And so as I begin our Project 613 year here, and as I begin this podcast, I want to say thank you to Hashem Almighty, who confirmed the vision. The vision was correct. Took a lot of work to get there, and we've only just begun. But that is the feeling of joy and gratitude that I have to share with you, my wonderful listeners to Monday Motivation Podcast, many of you who are wonderful partners in this endeavor, and thank you for that. All right, so in addition to 97 people for Friday night, we had 40 people for lunch, and what was really exciting is we had a lot of the young professionals stayed over in the hotel and really did a full Shabbaton, which means that we, for the first time, had a minyan for every single prayer service of Shabbos, even Saturday afternoon mincha, afternoon prayer, and the toughest one. By the time Shabbos went out, we had a minyan, which is absolutely incredible and truly special. And I want to share with you what I shared with our Project 613 participants at the third meal, because I think what I shared then is very relevant for all of us, especially as we are, I would say 10 days before Rosh Hashanah. So not this Wednesday, but this next coming Wednesday night, we will be standing in Rosh Hashanah. And I'd like to share with you what I shared with them at the third meal. So way back in the fall of 1996, I don't know what everyone was doing in the fall of 1996. I know I have young listeners to Monday Motivation who may not have been alive in 1996, and I have other seasoned veterans who definitely were alive and well in 1996. But wherever you were in the fall of 1996, this is what happened. There was a new program at Or Sameach, the yeshiva where I spent 8 years, 2 years single and 6 years married, training to become a rabbi, learning Torah. And there was a new program called the Center Program. And there were 16 young men from literally all around the world, mostly from America, but literally from all around the world. Funny to think that many of those 16 are actually now Zadies, grandparents. All right, that's for another schmooze for another time. And when you leave your home and you go off to a foreign land, although we can never call Israel a foreign land, but nevertheless, it's a big journey. Israel is always home. And you're starting a new program. And it was just a transition point in life. And we were approaching Rosh Hashanah. And we had a special Malava Malka. We had a special post-Shabbos Saturday night meal that all the guys in the program were invited, and the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Mendel Weinbach, was going to speak with us. Now, you have to understand, if any of you have met Rav Weinbach, Zatzal of blessed memory, he was a genius at understanding the crowd to whom he was speaking. He knew exactly what to say. He knew at every engagement, he said exactly the perfect thing about the Bachar, the Yeshiva student who was getting, who just got engaged. He was perfect. He just knew exactly what the crowd was, and he made either serious or funny or whatever. He knew exactly what the emotional dynamic was and how to address that in the most creative way. So I don't know how much, but he sensed among maybe these 16 young men an excitement for the future, but also a little bit of nervousness. You know, we were coming up upon Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Judgment, and we're really on our own and just maybe a little bit nervous about the future. And he shares with us the following idea. So it says in the Torah, in this week's Torah portion, Kisavo, at the very beginning, it talks about the mitzvah of Bikurim. It talks about the mitzvah of the first fruits that a farmer would need to go down to his field and tie a string around the first of the fruits, okay? And when they started growing, and then he would bring them up to Jerusalem with tremendous fanfare. And that was the mitzvah. Now, he'd bring them up, and what would he do? He would bring them to the Kohen. He would bring them to the priest, and he'd put the basket down. And after he'd put the basket down, there was something that he had to say. It's called Vidui Bikurim. And this Vidui Bikurim is basically a statement of Jewish history, a concise summary of Jewish history from the time of our patriarch Jacob all the way down to Egypt and how Hashem saved us from the slavery and servitude in Egypt. And in fact, many of you would recognize these verses because this is what we say in the Passover Haggadah. An Aramean tried to destroy my forefather, okay? And therefore, it is the best little, as we say, tamsit, summary of Jewish history. So that's what you need to say, and it puts in context the tremendous gratitude that we have, that these fruits aren't just in isolation. It's part of the ongoing gratitude for which we have that Hashem saves us every day and provides for us. Okay, and that was the idea. But there is something very bizarre that Rav Weinbach Zatzal pointed out. Okay, and this was in verse 3 in chapter 26. It says, "Vasel haKohen asher yeh b'yamim ahem," and you should go to the Kohen that will be there, i.e., in the temple in those days. "V'amarta elav," you should say to him. Now, again, this is before the entire confession that he has to say. "V'amarta elav," you should say to the Kohen, "Higarati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha," I have declared, I have said today. Past tense, Higarati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha. Kivasi al arts, that have come to the land, asher nishba Hashem l'avosin elas asana, that I've come to the land that God has promised our forefathers to give to us. And then he goes to the Kohen, takes the basket, etc., and then the Jew needs to say his confession. So the commentators, the Malbim in particular, who is very precise in language, asks, why does it say Higarati hayom? He hasn't yet said the confession of the Bikurim. He has not yet said the prerequisite verses. And yet it says that he says to the Kohen, Higarati hayom. I've already stated today. What do you mean you've already stated today? You haven't said anything. It should have said Ve'agid hayom. And I will say today, etc., etc. But it doesn't. And the question is, why does it say Higarati hayom? I've already declared today. And ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelts because this answer was a life-changing answer. Because the Jew who takes his first fruits and instead of using them for his own profit comes up to Jerusalem and tells the Almighty and brings the first fruit and puts the basket down, he doesn't need to say anything. His actions speak louder than words. He let his feet do the talking. The fact that he's there with his first precious fruit that everyone would normally want to take for himself and to dote on and to say that it was my power that did it. He takes that first fruit and says, Hashem, it's you who did it. You were the one who created this beautiful fruit. You're the one who allowed my success. You're the one that gave my arm strength to farm the land. And you're the one who gave me intelligence to be able to know how to cultivate it. I've spoken with my feet. My actions declare who I am and where I want to be. And on that Saturday night, that Motzei Shabbos, Rav Weinbach looked out at these 16 slightly nervous young men. And he said to us, gentlemen, you've done your talking with your feet. You have let your feet do the talking. You've shown up. You've stepped up. You've come to yeshiva. You've come to become great. You've come to learn the Torah of your fathers and your mothers. You've come to plug into Mount Sinai. 3,300 years of unbroken Jewish tradition and wisdom and life and essence. And you've stepped up. And you've stepped up for greatness. And you don't need to say anything, because your actions speak for you. Now, at that point, I was searching through my suit for some type of tissue to take care of some allergies that had somehow struck me, and he nailed it. And he told us, and from that group of 16, thank God, the Jewish people is a different people, for the impact that those 16 young men, many of whom are grandfathers today, have had on the Jewish world. And so I shared that with my Project 613 Young Professionals. You guys are here the entire Shabbos. You are here. Your actions speak for you. There are so many other things out there, so many flashy, exciting things to do, to watch on a weekend in Chicago. But you have all stepped up. And as we enter Rosh Hashanah, what greater merit, what greater schus, what greater merit is there than you having shown with your actions that Hashem God comes first, that Shabbos comes first? That is letting your feet do the talking. And so I'd like to extend the message to all of us, as we only have a little less than a week and a half left before Rosh Hashanah. What do we do before going into Rosh Hashanah? We have 10 days to prepare and to think, but even more, to maybe, based on our reflection of who we can be, who we can be in potential, what is our greatest potential, and think, and then come up maybe with one, maybe two things. I would even recommend just one that we can choose to do, to accept upon ourselves to become a better Jew. If it's a mitzvah of saying a blessing on a certain kosher food, if it's the mitzvah of tzedakah, if it's a mitzvah of prayer, if it's the mitzvah of saying Shema, if it's the mitzvah of chesed, kindness, helping another Jew in a specific situation, it's the mitzvah of shmiras alashon, of watching our speech and not saying negative things about other people, even if they're true. Whatever it is, take it on now. Commit to the best of your ability, and you could say bli neder without taking a vow, but commit to the best of your abilities to accept it now, so that when you stand in a week from Wednesday night in Rosh Hashanah davening and services, you don't have to say anything. You have to pray, obviously, but you don't have to say anything, because your feet have done the talking for you. You've already accepted upon yourself a new positive behavior that is going to unlock your spiritual potential. God willing, may we all be inspired by the words of Rav Weinbach. May we all be inspired by the actions of those 16 young and now not so young men. And may we all be inspired by the 97 amazing Jewish young professionals who were there for Shabbos, and especially those who stayed the entire Shabbos. Their actions speak volumes. God bless, and may we be inspired to have a good and sweet new year with ever-increasing connection to the Almighty. And we will see you back here right next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.